It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. ASU and U of A will face off Saturday in this year's Territorial Cup game. The stakes are high for fans of the rival schools, and there are financial stakes for the two head coaches. KJZZ's Nick Blumberg reports.
According to a USA Today ranking, ASU's Todd Graham is the 37th highest paid college football coach in the country, but don't start crying for him just yet. Graham's pay was boosted to $2.3 million earlier this year, and while it won't happen this season, if he hits all the benchmarks in his contract, he could earn more than $3 million in bonuses. After clinching the Pac-12 South this past weekend, Graham's in line for at least a $230,000 bonus. A win Saturday will give ASU home field advantage in the conference championship a week later. If the Sun Devils beat Stanford in that game, Graham will rake in almost $500,000 extra. The University of Arizona's Rich Rodriguez is the 45th highest paid coach, taking in about $2.1 million a year. His contract makes him eligible for several hundred thousand in bonuses, including $100,000 for appearing in a BCS bowl game and $75,000 for a non-BCS bowl game. Nick Blumberg, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
ASU and the U of A are not alone in offering their head coaches extra incentives to succeed and join their athletic programs in the first place. And the money itself, even without bonuses, is shocking to some. University of Alabama head football coach Nick Saban, who's led his team to consecutive national championships leading to millions of dollars coming to the school, is earning more than $5.5 million this year. With me to talk more about college coaching salaries is Scott Herko, assistant professor of sport management at Central Michigan University and co-author of a study this year on coaching salaries. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm just fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are you seeing trends that indicate schools are more willing to invest this big money into attracting coaches? And can we tell whether it's working out for them or not?
Well, absolutely. There is a trend in increasing coaches' salaries, and particularly football coaching salaries. And that trend is concerning with particular focus on the fact that there are some institutions that can afford that and some that really cannot, yet they're in the same competitive division. So, for instance, when you look at projecting out using inflation, projecting out to 2020, you see some conferences that are projected to pay football coaches upwards of 350% more than they did in 2005.
Wow.
And that is a significant concern and very difficult for those conferences that don't have access to those revenues to be able to keep up and maintain that competitive balance. So certainly what we're finding is across the board, not even at the most competitive levels of BCS automatic qualifying conferences such as a Southeastern Conference, but also at those conferences that are less competitive, such as the Mid-American Conference or even the Western Athletic Conferences, they are also willing to pay more money to hire football coaches in order to try to reach a certain level of success. And studies have shown that paying money for football coaches and paying more money for football coaches does not necessarily translate into success.
When you talk about those universities that can afford it, and obviously we have bigger TV deals with some of these conferences, but is that money coming from the university? Is it coming from big boosters? How big a difference does that make?
It makes a significant difference. Institutions that are a member of a BCS automatic qualifying conference have access to significant media revenues as well as donations that can be made by boosters that are tax deductible. And for instance, you may have ticket seat licenses at Arizona State or the University of Arizona, which donors can write off as tax deductible. And millions of dollars are earned by those institutions that are able to fill those seats and receive those types of donations. Whereas at the less competitive level, you know, ticket seat licenses are not an option. Mm-hmm. And so the revenues that are earned from, say, the Pac-12 network and from donations for ticket seat licenses are millions and millions of dollars that go into a system that in turn seems to go into the pockets of coaches. And that's where we're seeing a significant increase in the rise in coaching salaries. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I wanted to get into this idea of whether people should be concerned about the levels of these salaries. I was thinking about Todd Graham at Arizona State, who does have, in addition to the other incentives, does have the possibility for an academic bonus. Are university presidents looking enough at whether the academic and athletic missions are compatible?
That's an interesting question. I would say that academic bonuses are becoming more prevalent. And the reason why is because of the NCAA's new academic progress standards. And the NCAA will penalize athletic teams and institutions whose athletic teams do not meet minimum academic benchmarks, and they may not be eligible for postseason play and the compensation that may be received from that postseason. So, in other words, there is some level of competitiveness in the academic clauses and bonuses for coaches. You can look at it both ways. One is it's good for institutions to be focused on trying to improve the graduation rates of players. On the other hand, they're kind of being forced to do it, and part of it is financial reasons. They want to be able to please their donors, and they want to be able to please their fans, and they want to be able to receive a windfall from participating in the postseason. So academic bonuses are certainly becoming more prevalent in coaches' contracts, but the rationale behind them isn't all necessarily academically based.
Boy Scott, I guess I should be shocked that the motives aren't pure there, huh? Talking about the big money in college sports.
One of the things when you wanted to speak with me, I thought about in your introductory piece there talks about Nick Saban. He's making almost $6 million a year at the University of Alabama. Most of the highest paid public employees in states in our union happen to be either football or basketball coaches. And so if that's a system that we believe demonstrates our priorities or demonstrates the marketplace, I think that's something that we need to look at. As far as Nick Saban goes, I would argue that, okay, let's make him the highest paid coach in the land, which he is, but does he need to be paid $6 million a year? And my argument would be if he was the highest paid coach in the land and he was making $500,000 a year instead of $6 million, he would likely be just as intense, passionate, and probably just as effective as he is now. So the amount of money that's being generated by intercollegiate athletics is not being evenly distributed to other areas of higher education, which may be able to better use those resources.
Well, that's another thing that interests me, too. When we talk about Alabama winning back-to-back national championships, and they win another one this year. They're ranked number one in the country again. The money that comes in from playing in one of these enormous bowl games or a BCS championship game, is that money distributed? We don't know exactly, I guess, at Alabama, but is that money distributed in such a way where it actually benefits the university as a whole? Or is it really more just about we can win more games? We can win more games next year and the year after that?
I think that's an area of debate. You can argue that the institutional prestige in the front porch of an institution can be elevated by participating in high-profile championship contests. Now, the measurement, the dollar measurement from that, the promotional return on that is something that is difficult to equate and to quantify. However, I would also say that the amount of money spent to attain the top of the ladder is significant. And institutions continue to pay more money to try to reach that high level of success. And what's particularly concerning for me at a place such as Central Michigan University is that the Chippewas can't afford and they do not have the resources to be in the same competitive division as a Michigan or a Michigan State. And you see that play out across the country. So whether or not the revenues that are generated from the BCS help to elevate the bottom line of an institution, I would argue that BCS revenues largely are redistributed through conferences. And so the piece of the pie that Arizona State may receive for participating in the BCS championship game is going to be shared with other members of the Pac-12 conference. But that said, the prestige that is received is significant enough, and that the fan base and the alumni want to be able to chase and are willing to spend the money to attain that level. And that is concerning with respect to is that the best investment that can be made with those dollars? Are there other investments that can be made with the dollars that are generated? And that is a matter of debate.
Scott, I have about 30 seconds left, so I'm not sure we can answer this in that amount of time, but how much of a risk generally are universities taking when they decide to dole out these big salaries? Because obviously sometimes it works out very well, but oftentimes it doesn't.
It's a significant risk. Football is a zero-sum game. One team wins, another team loses. So for every Nick Saban that is paid a significant amount of money, there is a Charlie Weiss that is paid a significant amount of money and departs. You've got Jeff Tedford at University of California, Rick Neuheisel at University of California, Los Angeles, that were paid millions of dollars and were subsequently let go because of their poor coaching record. So, there may be a success, but for every success, there's a failure, and it is a significant gamble.
Scott, that's all the time we have. Scott Hurko, Assistant Professor of Sport Management at Central Michigan University, co-author of a study this year on coaching salaries. Scott, thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.